podcast land, and welcome to another episode of the Front Row Network. We are doing our special tribute to the Oscar this week, and today we are going to break down a category for the screenplays. We are going to be looking at the original screenplays. We were here last night looking at adapted, so now we're going to look at originality. Huzzah to that. I am Ryan Leetons, and with me tonight is
Phil Rockwell
and Jay Hoffman.
Welcome, guys. Ready to get original?
It's the only way I operate, man.
Tonight we are going to be looking at the five movies that are nominated, or five screenplays that are nominated for Best Original Screenplay. Our five choices are Knives Out by Rian Johnson, Marriage Story by Noah Baumbach, 1917 by Sam Mendes and Christy Wilson Carnes, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood by Quentin Tarantino, and Parasite by Bong Joon-ho and Han Jin-won. So, guys, interpretation. What do you guys think about this year and original screenplays? Bill, why don't you go ahead and go first?
It's a tasty smorgasbord. It's a lot of really different stuff. You have something like Knives Out, which is a genre mystery film. You have the unclassifiable Parasite. You have a Once Upon a Time that's written by someone who is known for flashy dialogue and really sharp writing, doing something sort of leisurely and less sort of clever. All of them that I've seen, I've really enjoyed, and they're all very different, which is super cool to see in this category.
Hey, what are your thoughts?
I agree. There's not a single one of them on here that I didn't love. I thought all these movies were great. And just like Phil said, kind of all over the board, you pretty much hit about every type of genre you can think of here, except maybe – well, yeah, you can get comedy with Knives. I mean, you hit about every genre.
Yeah,
you can think of with this list.
You can get comedy with Parasite. This year, our original screenplays are really some of the best. We were talking about what we would talk about snubs before we started, and you're thinking about snubs, and there are a few, but man, they really nailed it with these five.
It's hard to bump any of these out.
Right. I mean, these are probably some of the most original, very intricate stories ever written, or at least for this year. So I think these five are the ones that should have been nominated. Of course, we'll look at snubs after we break down the movies. So we're going to hop right into it. We're going to start off with a film that really took me by surprise. I had a very good feeling it was going to be a great flick, and I was not wrong. Rian Johnson's Knives Out, a fantastic film, and Phil's going to break down the screenplay for us. What do you thought?
So writing mystery is hard, especially nowadays where the internet is everywhere, and people have sort of, with shows like Lost or Westworld or Game of Thrones, everyone's used to sort of picking apart the mysteries and looking at the pieces. And it's really hard to stay in front of an audience. They're just sharper viewers than they were even 10 years ago. And somehow Rian Johnson is able to do it with this really, really clever mystery, that gives us a new icon in Benoit Blanc. It gives a bunch of journeyman actors a chance to play against type and to just come in and chew the scenery. Every character in this film, including the grandmother or the great grandmother, is just, they're all fantastic. So original characters. And the thing to me is not only did he create a great mystery? It's very easy to trick an audience because you get a chance. You can show them whatever you want. You can show them things from a certain person's perspective that might not exactly be true. There are tons of tricks to keep viewers off their feet. And Rian Johnson did something unique, and he made a mystery where he never lies to the audience. If you see it on screen, it happened. And still he's able to bend a mystery out of that with a wonderful character played by Ana de Armas, who is manages to be sweet without being maudlin. Like, she's clearly a very smart character, but she's a very, very sweet person. And it's super funny. It ends up having some really, really sharp commentary about class. It makes a great argument for how bullshit the idea of self-made is in our society. And there is a running theme about donut holes that I want tattooed on my body. Donut hole within into the donut hole inside a donut that I absolutely have one of my favorite things of the year. It's just smart, sharp, funny. God, it's everything you want out of a movie script.
Agreed 110% on that. Donut hole. If this movie wasn't nominated, there's definitely going to be something missing in that donut. Let's move on to another original screenplay written by Sam Mendes and his counterpart, Christy Wilson Carnes, and that's 1917. This is a story that Sam Mendes heard from his grandfather. It is definitely a technical screenplay. We're going to let Jay break this one down.
Yeah, and this one, I think what's interesting about this is a lot of this movie is about the physicality of it more than the dialogue. There's really not a ton of dialogue in there. The dialogue that is in there is very on point, to the point, and makes a lot of good, it's straightforward when there is dialogue. They make good use of the time when they're speaking. What I think with this one is the story itself that they weaved. It's a roller coaster. You know, actually, literally, when I was leaving the theater, I was in a college town where I saw it, you know, Carbondale, Southern Illinois, and some guy walking behind me looked, I heard him lean into his girlfriend and goes, "That was a roller coaster." I think that's I like started laughing. What a great description of the movie. I think more than, like I said, the dialogue, it's just that story where every time you think you're ready to catch your breath, the story is going to take it away from you. And then it's going to get you right to the verge where you can't breathe. It's going to let you breathe again. Then it's going to take it right away from you. And so for me, the screenplay is more about the story. And everybody loves a failure is not an option story. In fact, I'm drinking out of my Apollo 11 failure is not an option mug right now, thinking of that movie. So for me, it was the story and the roller coaster ride it took you on as to why this one's nominated. I think it also pays a really great tribute to World War I veterans who I don't think in film there's been some movies about it. I don't think anything's been as poignant as this movie has to that generation of veteran as well.
You mean Flyboys wasn't poignant? All right. No, because 1917, I mean, you definitely have a different feeling for the era with that movie. They really nailed it. So we're going to move on to the third film nominated for Best Original Screenplay. I have the pleasure of talking about Marriage Story, written by Noah Baumbach. Because anything Noah Baumbach is very good at, it is writing human emotion, human relationship, and human feeling. Holy crap, this guy can write a feeling. And if it is given into the hands of a proper actor, his story can move you to so many different types of emotions. He has a great cast with Scarlett Johansson, Laura Dern, more importantly, Adam Driver, and of course his child actor. But this is a story. It is the Kramer versus Kramer of our generation. It is a story about who you originally think are two amicable adults who are getting along, and then the knives and claws come out. No pun intended, knives out. But it's just very interesting how Noah Baumbach can write emotion without, like, I don't feel like, does he feel these things? Because when you're watching the film, you're like, holy crap. It's so unbelievably believable. I know Screenplayed, which is that thing on Facebook. It's a site, a page that it shows the screenplay as the scene is playing out. And they do the scene that's in the Adam Driver's apartment. And it is word for word. And, you know, you think that they might be able to ad-lib some stuff. No, everything is just so on point. And the emotion that has come across is just unbelievably insane. There's that part where he tells her that he wished that she would die. And even then it's written in tears. Like, it is just crazy how he builds emotion to these points where you feel it expressed through these actors. You know, and it's not just the emotion. It is courtroom drama. I mean, there's several scenes in a courtroom. And he just nails it when it comes to talking about the legal stuff and, you know, oh, they went this route, so now we have to play this way. I mean, it is just so captivating to watch the story unfold because you actually have emotional stake in it. I think he really nailed the emotion of this film. So that's my take on Marriage Story. Take it as you will. But now we are going to go ahead and move to what I think are the two front runners for this category. I could be very, very wrong. We'll see on Sunday night at the Oscars. But we have Parasite and Once Upon a Time. So our friend Phil is going to break down Parasite, which we both agree is one of the best movies of 2020.
Parasite is a movie that seems like it would have gotten noted to death by the studio if it were made in America. It shifts tones dramatically. The first half plays completely different than the second half. It manages to make you believe it's one thing and then pulling the rug out from underneath you. It's smart enough to always be several steps ahead of you in terms of what's happening. And it creates this family that we absolutely love. For all of the plotting and twists of that film, if we aren't invested in that family, it doesn't work. He manages to make us believe that this is an underdog story, that we're going to be able, you know, that David is going to slay Goliath, and then it pulls the rug out from underneath us and forces us to acknowledge that the way society is set up, Goliath is just too big. It shows that people are living in two different worlds, and one world doesn't even acknowledge the other, doesn't understand the other, looks down on the other. They are interchangeable parts in their daily chore list. As far as the film goes, I think it's the script isn't as showy as maybe the plot would indicate. But there are little moments where the way they wrote the rich people, almost every line they're demeaning the people underneath them, even though they think they're treating them kindly. There's a scene where the family is trapped underneath a table with the rich couple on the couch above them. That is one of the most demeaning scenes I have ever seen in a film. And it just absolutely breaks your heart and disgusts you with these wealthy people. It feels like magic that movie not only was made, but is getting the attention that it's getting. It's a movie that just does, you don't see these types of movies in Oscar races, and to see it recognized is amazing. And I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I love Knives Out. but Parasite is something special.
I agree 110%. It's like I said when we were talking about it in the spotlight, this film goes from comedy to drama to thriller to horror back to drama. I mean, the way it's crafted and the way it's written is just phenomenal. So definitely needs to be up there with the top two, I think. So we have one more movie to break down, and I was actually just looking at this. We're going to break down Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Tarantino's been nominated for director and writer numerous times, but this is the first time that one of his films has been nominated for Best Picture. But it's also nominated for Best Original Screenplay. I think it's one of his best, but we're going to have Jay break it down for us. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and screenplay, writing, dialogue, that's what Tarantino is known for on top of his other directorial choices. But like you said, it's very flashy. You know, he's kind of got a described as like a groovy banter kind of dialogue style. Where, you know, you got somebody like Aaron Sorkin, who's very technical. This is groovy banter. That's kind of what he does. But this is a lot more subtle than I think a lot of his other stuff is. It seems more grown up than anything else he's done. And I got to be honest, I think if I was 10 years younger, I don't know if I'd like this one as much as I do now. It's a much slower burn than what we're used to from him. It still has those Tarantino-esque flashes at the end of the movie, but man, he builds and builds. He takes a real life incident and just continues to build the suspense, and to do the thing that he's been doing lately where he just completely flips the script on you and changes the way it's going to end. I know in our, full disclosure, you know, some of you guys were ready for that flip. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what he was going to do. I know he has been changing history lately in movies. I was not sure what the ending was going to be there. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty surprised by it, although I shouldn't have been. I was. So I think he just did a really good job of, you know, he took all that history of Manson and just subtly planted it throughout, while paying this great tribute to this Hollywood 60s that he loves. And every time you kind of get a hint into that Manson family, you know, you feel a little knot in your stomach, and it kind of builds over time all the way to that ending. So, but it's still got those groovy, you know, groovy banter beats that we love to get from Tarantino. You can just like watch people talk in his movies because he just writes it so entertainingly, and he does it again in this one.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, you say groovy banter. I mean, that whole groovy banter is just rolled up in Brad Pitt. I mean, that's just his whole character.
He's so cool.
But that actually, I think that podcast is about tomorrow. So listen for the Best Supporting Actor tomorrow. Okay.
One thing I do want to say about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is we've all liked Tarantino's characters, but I don't think until this film we really cared about his characters the way
right.
we do.
Yes,
that we do care about Rick Dalton and I forget Brad Pitt's character's name, but like
Cliff Booth.
We legitimately care about these characters, and we're sad about when Rick Dalton is struggling, and yet when he has that one scene that he absolutely kills, it's this great moment. We're so happy for him, and it's an emotional beat that I don't think Tarantino has really attempted much in his career, and certainly not one that he's pulled off. The only exception I would say maybe is Jackie Brown, but looking over his career, everyone's cool and you know, groovy, but like feeling emotionally invested is not usually an essential element of his films. And this film has to have it or it doesn't work.
Yeah. I wonder if he's usually got such big ensembles in his story, and this one narrows it in. I wonder if that helped.
Yeah, it is a smaller ensemble than usual.
Yeah, because you're right. A lot of his other characters, we like them, but they're disposable.
We're not used to liking Tarantino's characters because they die quickly or they're dying.
Yeah.
All right. So we've broken down the five nominees. We're going to take a look and see if we have any feelings towards snubs. Do we think that any movie should be in here before we break down our own personal who should win, who will win? I'll let Phil go first. Phil, do you got anything?
Hustlers.
Yes.
I think Hustlers is one of the most underrated films of the year. It's a film that is for women, made by women, and really addresses how, in a way that Parasite addresses class, is the way the upper crust deals with those beneath them. I think Hustlers is a similar story in that, except it uses gender rather than class. It's one of those movies. The fact that Jennifer Lopez was not nominated for an Academy Award.
Started.
See, it's mind boggling. I talk about in the draft podcast, the scene at the very beginning where J-Lo sort of accepts this younger dancer as her pupil. In 100 other movies, that the way that dynamic would have been is they were setting up a rivalry. And I think we underestimate how radical it is to have a film where the women are all supporting each other rather than being catty with each other. I mean, that's the closest family, short of Little Women, on film this year seem to be the dancers in Hustlers. And that's a credit to the script and to the way it was directed and the wonderful cast. I think that movie really deserved a lot more attention than it got when award season came around.
I agree.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Jay, any snubs on your behalf?
Yeah. I'm going to mention two, but I'll be brief. First one I'll mention is Lighthouse, which we've kind of talked about in our group. Some of us, it's a super weird movie. I can't remember the director's name off the top of my head, but
Robert Eggers.
Thank you, Roger
Eggers. Yeah. Robert Eggers.
Eggers.
Yes, but the way he writes dialogue in The Witch, the dialogue from The Lighthouse, it is old timey dialogue. Yet it can be rough. It's definitely not for anybody. But I gotta say, when that dialogue's in the movie, it does something to the movie. Mm-hmm. The way they talk like that, it brings you into this world of film that I just don't think you ever get brought into. And I also think the story and where it ends, and that's one I don't want to give spoilers away, even though probably nobody wants to watch it. That's not a
mermaid?
Huge film buff. I might be wrong, but I loved the ending. I put it on the message board. I said, I didn't know what I thought of it until the last 5 minutes happened. And then I thought, I really like this movie. and I think that's an awesome, awesome screenplay. I wouldn't call it a snub. I'd say it'd be an interesting contender.
Yeah.
The other one I'd say, I think would be cool, would be Dolomite Is My Name. I think that's another movie.
Yes.
That,
yes.
Didn't get much love. And as some of our group has said, you know, the feel good movie of the year. And that's what I tell everybody, feel good movie of the year, but it's also filthy and raunchy and knee slappingly hilarious. And you feel so good at the end of that movie. And it's just completely uplifting. And Eddie Murphy in it is great. But what I like about his character, there's one scene that stands out for me is when he's yelling at Wesley Snipes because he's the director of their film and he's just lazy up and he won't help anybody. And that scene where he rips into him, somebody needs food, I'll go down and get him food. Somebody needs help with a box, I'll get that whole dialogue right there is some of my favorite dialogue of the year. And so I'd throw Dolomite as my name would be another interesting one, because I think that's an interesting story, and the way they told it was really awesome.
Yeah, I agree. And Lou is probably, you know, really rooting for you right now because you mentioned Dolomite. I've got myself too that I thought of, you know, and as much as I want to say Crawl, because me and Phil could talk about that movie. I'm going to talk about, first I'm going to say The Farewell. That movie is really, really good about shaping, culture and, familial aspects. You really get to know your characters and what they're going through. And more importantly, their cultural and the most subtle tones, all the while having this movie be a comedy led by Awkwafina. I mean, it is just very well written, and you definitely feel those familial tones, and you can relate to those characters, because we all know someone that in our lives that may have passed away through an illness, and you know, you're just trying to make the most of it. And this movie really does a great job of showing that. But in keeping with the idea of me loving horror, you know, if I had to choose, you know, there's one I would definitely say, and I'm thinking Midsommar, but then I'm like, no, it has to be Us. The fact that Us is not nominated, culturally relevant, you know, but Jordan Peele is a master at his craft. And the fact that he was not nominated this year with his follow-up for Get Out is kind of mind-boggling, because he knows how to write, and he knows how to write effective horror. And it's not like in-your-face horror. Very subtle, and it's very slow burn, and he can do it. So I'm a little upset that he didn't get a second nomination, but Us was kind of snubbed, and I think that's because it was released in March of last year. So yeah, that's going to do it for us. Before we go, we are going to give our thoughts on who should win and who will win. So Jay, I'm going to go ahead and go with you first. Who should win, and then who will win?
I think Knives Out should win. I think the story was tight. I think some of the dialogue seemed goofy till, like, if you were to read it, which I didn't and Phil did, but I think if I read it, I'd be like, this seems weird. But when you watch them do it, man, it was so funny and poignant and a great story. And that's where my heart puts me is Knives Out. But that being said, really, 1917 is the weak link of all these for me, as far as screenplay goes. If any of them won, I wouldn't be like, oh, that sucks. I think they're all very good. But my head says Tarantino. I think with, you know, such a strong group of movies, and if they're going to try to spread the love, you know, they love his dialogue. And so I think it's going to end up with Tarantino.
Bill, what do you think? Should win, will win.
So my heart is with Rian Johnson. He's the only director whose name I have on a piece of clothing that I own. You know, I spieled on it earlier. There's no fat on that script, none whatsoever. And actually, if you read it, some of the ways that he describes characters, are as funny as anything is in the movie. Like when they introduce, I think Richard, who would be Don Johnson's character. And he said, he's the type of guy who puts his feet up on everything. And I was like, oh my God, that one sentence. And you know exactly who that guy is. You know exactly who that guy is.
Don Johnson.
So, oh man. It's so good. So I'm going to be crazy. I think Parasite's going to win. Okay. I think, it's so unconventional that the fact that it stuck the landing, you can't ignore it. You know, Tarantino is not a surprise to anyone anymore. The guy can write. But I think I want to see Bong Joon-ho up on stage accepting that award. The guy's hysterical, and he wrote a damn masterpiece. Put the man on stage. If we get to the end of the night and he has not gotten up there for something, it's going to break my heart, because Parasite is so good. So good. And he has been so good for so long. And it's like, I can't remember which podcast I said this on, but it is the one film that sort of defies any categorization of the Best Picture nominees and of these, like, you can't it's a thriller. Well, it's super funny, and then it changes, and then it's like I had the same thing with Fargo. Like Fargo is super funny until it's not funny anymore. and Parasite does the same thing with a real sharp focus on the rich and the poor.
Yeah.
It's just, it's layered. It's smart. I mean, but damn, this category, I have no idea, but I feel Parasite is where it's going to get this is where it's going to get rewarded.
So I'm a philosopher of spreading love. I think Parasite is going to win, but it's going to be for best foreign language. So we are going to see him up on screen or up on stage for sure.
International film, sir.
Sorry. International.
How dare you?
Excuse me. Ooh. Wow. Well, first time I messed that up. Sorry, Academy. Best international film. Okay. So my I'm going to agree with my two compadres, Knives Out all the way. This is a film that came out of left field, but it shouldn't have come out of left field because anything Ryan Johnson touches is automatically awesome. This guy is fantastic at his craft. He's really good. And the story that he gave us did not let up. It was a very poignant film. It just delivered on every level imaginable. And he should get that recognition because this movie was snubbed in every category. It's
high BS. Production design.
Yeah. Jesus, that house. you're going to nominate Parasite for their production design and their awesome house. Well, Knives Out is like, here's your screenplay nomination. God. Okay. Will win. I'm a little tossed up here, but I think that Parasite has a better chance in picture and director than Tarantino does. So I think the Academy is going to give Quentin Tarantino his third Oscar for writing, which is a bummer because I think this is one of his – it is his best film. But yeah, it's going to be his third Oscar, I think. So, but that's going to do it for us for another episode of the Front Row Network and another Oscar category breakdown. But before we go, just remember that this coming Sunday on Oscar Sunday, we are going to be having our get together at the Hoagland Center for our Oscar party. Did I say that right, Jay? Hoagland?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, sure.
We're not local.
We're not local at all. but we're getting together to watch the Oscar. We're hosting an Oscar party. You can come dressed up. We're having a contest. We don't care. You can dress down. That's not a big deal. We're also going to be having trivia in between commercial breaks. And we'll also be passing out ballots to let the audience pick their winners as well. The Front Row will also be doing their own Oscar contest with the Front Row guesses the Oscars. We're kind of playing head versus heart. It'll be fun to watch as we kick ourselves in the shins for not beating one or the other. But it's been fun tonight. I'm looking forward to the rest of the Oscar spotlights. I am Ryan Lutens, and with me tonight has been
Phil Rockwell
and Jay Hoffman. Hey, before we leave, quick question, Phil.
Yeah.
Ryan Johnson's name's on your clothes. It's not your underwear, is it?
That would be telling. I'll show you when I come down to Springfield for the Oscar party.
All right, it's been fun here. We have a lot of more Oscar spotlights coming up, but we will see you in the Front Row. Thank you for joining.
This episode is a production of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio, Illinois. For more information and to see the full slate of Front Row Network shows, you can visit frnpod.com or nprillinois.org.